If your business needs a new application, then developers will have to write code, a lot of code. If an application needs to be modernized, then you'll need time, resources, and caffeine. If that sounds daunting, then you need Watson X Code Assistant, AI designed to multiply developer productivity so you can generate code quickly. Let's create a more modern foundation for business with Watson X Code Assistant. Learn more at ibm.com/codeassistant. IBM, let's create.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
You're listening to Comedy Central.
From the most trusted journalists at Comedy Central, it's America's only source for news. This is The Daily Show with your host, Jordan Klepper.
Jordan Klepper, we got so much to talk about tonight. Donald Trump is looking for a new vice president. Kendrick and Drake are at war. And bring your dogs in the house at night because Kristi Noem is on the loose. So, let's get into headlines. Let's kick things off right here in New York City, where week three of the Donald Trump hush money trial kicked off with a stern warning for the defendant in chief.
We just got that decision from the judge on whether or not Donald Trump has, in fact, violated his gag order again. And the judge has decided that, yes, Donald Trump has now violated it for the 10th time. And he said, going forward, if Donald Trump violates it again, he will consider jail time.
Oh, whoa, whoa. Oh, oh, oh. You've done it now, Donald. If you violate that gag order for an 11th time... The judge is going to really consider jail time. I mean, he's strongly contemplating the possibility of consequences for your actions. Oh, just one more chance. Look, I get that no judge wants to throw a former president into the slammer, but Donald Trump has the mind of a toddler. If there's one thing a toddler understands, it's that when mom and dad start counting like 9, 9.5, 9 3/4, the brat has already won. Whether Trump is thrown in jail for a few days over the gag order or thrown in jail for a few years for the hush money scandal, he's still going to be the next president. So, let's get into the latest news in our ongoing... Look at the polls, everybody. Let's get into the latest news in our ongoing coverage of Indecision 2024. Right now, the presidential race is all about the Veep stakes. And over the weekend, everyone desperate to be Trump's running mate gathered in Mar-a-Lago for a classic Trump beauty pageant.
There are a lot of special guests that are on Donald Trump's shortlist for VP. And Donald Trump today at Mar-a-Lago during that fundraiser actually called a series of them up on stage and praised them.
About Senator Tim Scott, he said, as a surrogate, he's unbelievable. On Congressman Michael Waltz, a man that knows more about the military. When I want to know about the military, I call him. Kristi Noem, somebody that I love. Senator Mike Lee, I love your haircut, and he's a good man too. Representative Hunt, makes the best commercials. Congressman Byron Donalds, I like diversity. Diversite, as you would say, I like diversite.
Wow. Subtle. Byron Donalds, I like diversite. What a clever way to say that he's black and maybe French, I don't know. Diversite sounds like the name of a stripper Trump once slept with. I have no evidence of that, of course, maybe because he paid her that hush money. But some VP candidates are showing more hustle than others. Like, a lot of them denied the 2020 election results, But Senator Tim Scott was on TV this weekend pre-denying this year's election results.
Will you commit to accepting the election results of 2024, bottom line?
At the end of the day, the 47th president of the United States will be President Donald Trump, and I'm excited to give back to low inflation, low unemployment.
Wait, Senator, yes or no, will you accept the election results of 2024 no matter who wins?
That is my statement.
But is it just yes or no? Will you accept the election results of 2024?
I look forward to President Trump being the 47th president. Kristen, you could ask him multiple times.
Senator, just a yes or no answer.
So the American people will make the decision.
But I don't hear you committing.
For President Trump. That's it, clearly.
This is how humiliating it is to be on Trump's team. Normal questions become trick questions. Do you accept the election results? Should you look directly into an eclipse? This is not a hard question. It's like when the band comes out and says, "Are you ready to party?" Just say yes and enjoy Imagine Dragons like a responsible adult. Come on. Of course. One of the top contenders for Trump's VP is South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem. She's got MAGA credentials, she's got executive experience, she's got Fox News anchor face. If you ask me, the race is hers to lose. There's really nothing she could do to ruin her chances.
A governor thought to be a contender for Donald Trump's running mate this November is responding to the backlash over a story in her new book. It's a story about shooting her puppy.
Okay, maybe that might hurt her chances. I'm not a political expert, but I think if I had to give a politician advice, I would say the top thing is to not shoot your puppy. The second top thing would be to not write about shooting your puppy. Look, let's give her the benefit of the doubt. Maybe she has a good reason.
In the book, Noem says she shot and killed her 14-month-old puppy named Cricket for bad behavior.
Noem describes leading the 14-month-old dog to a gravel pit to be shot after concluding it was less than worthless, untrainable, and aggressive.
As a mom, I made a choice between protecting my children and protecting them from a dangerous animal that was killing livestock.
Noem posting this response on X saying, "We love animals, but tough decisions like this happen all the time on a farm."
That is not an excuse, Kristi Noem. You can't just go around executing puppies and say, "Well, that's life on a farm." It's a farm, not international waters. And for bad behavior, I mean, even Cruella De Vil is like, "Jesus, at least I was making a coat." Was there really nothing else that could have been done with a misbehaving puppy? Training, medication. I mean, worst case, send the dog to a nice family upstate. That's what my parents said they did with my dog when I was a kid. And he still sends me a birthday card every year. How cool is that? Now, Kristi Noem's defense is that she had no choice because the dog was untrainable and a danger. Although if you read her book, the carnage doesn't stop there.
You put it in a part of a chapter called Bad Day to Be a Goat. And then after you shot the dog, you, quote, "realized another unpleasant job needed to be done. Walking back up to the yard, I spotted our billy goat."
What did the goat do? It sounds like she saw it and was like, "Well, I can't leave any witnesses." She could have. Yeah. I mean, come on. She could have at least given the goat an opportunity to prove its loyalty. Like, "Here's the gun, you shoot the dog." Don't forget, nobody forced her to tell anybody these stories. These are the stories she chose to tell to seem tough for the MAGA base in this book. By the way, was No Going Back supposed to be the title? Or was that what her editor said when they read this section? Are you sure you want this in? There's no going back. I mean, what were the alternate titles? "For God's sake, don't include this." "Not sure if you're kidding, LOL. Were you hacked?" I don't know. And by the way, Noem is not letting up on this. In fact, not only is she willing to shoot her dog and goat, now she wants to shoot other dogs too.
South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem is not backing down, defending her decision to shoot her own dog, now implying President Joe Biden's dog Commander, which no longer lives in the White House after several biting incidents, should be put down. She reportedly writes that the first thing she would do if she got to the White House is make sure Joe Biden's dog was nowhere on the grounds. Commander, say hello to Cricket.
Dear Lord, this woman has a taste for dog blood. It's like she thought all dogs go to heaven was a personal challenge. Why is she going so hard on dog killing? Can cats vote now? What, did I miss that? For more on this, we go live to Kristi Noem's ranch with our own Michael Costa. Michael! Michael, how is Noem's team reacting to this story?
They're not worried at all, Jordan. This story might upset the coastal elites, but Noem's people are confident that real Americans understand that this is just life on the farm.
Was that a gunshot I just heard?
Yeah, it was, city boy, you know? Where do you think your chicken comes from? It comes from blindfolding the birds, leading them into a gravel pit, giving them a last cigarette, and shooting them in the back of the head. Also, you can stuff your face on 10-cent wing night. It's how we feed America.
Okay, yeah, I think we all understand that death is a part of our food system. What's disturbing is how thoughtlessly Governor Noem treats her animals.
Yeah, but Noem's team says that's a real advantage in politics. You want a leader who can make hard decisions about the budget without being preoccupied about whether the kids are going to be hungry because they don't get a school lunch.
I'm sorry. Was that a cow being choked?
Oh, here we go. Yeah. Reality check for you left coast soy boys, all right? This is how your steak gets to the supermarket. Do you think it magically falls from the sky, shrink-wrapped? No. Governor Kristi Noem sneaks up behind each cow individually with a piece of piano wire and wraps it tightly around their neck, saying, shh, let it happen. Let it happen. It's simple, honest farm work, Jordan.
Okay. Okay. I'll admit I have no idea what that sound was.
Well, if you got out of your media bubble once in a while, you would know that pork is produced when an unsuspecting pig gets into his mid-sized sedan, starts it up, and it explodes. But does Kristi Noem get any thanks for rigging up the C4? Well, not from the New York City brunch crowd.
Okay, Michael, look, I don't accept this explanation. I think the average rural American treats their animals with more respect than Kristi Noem is saying they do. What was that?
Well, let me guess. You think your mailman meat just grows on trees?
Okay,
huh?
I guess not. Michael Costa, everybody.
Come on.
When we come back, we find out who's winning the latest war in hip-hop, so don't go away.
What if AI could help your business deliver mission-critical outcomes with speed? With IBM Consulting, your business can design, build, and scale trusted AI using Watson X, and modernize the way you work to accelerate real impact. Let's create AI that transforms your business. Learn more at ibm.com/consulting. IBM, let's create.
Trinity School of Natural Health can help you be part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry. With an education that empowers communities, Trinity grads can change lives by applying natural health principles and techniques in holistic practices or stores selling nourishing health products. Offering 19 online programs that fit your busy schedule, you'll get training to help turn your passion into a career. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
The Daily Show. You know, the news is so serious these days. What we could really use is a palate cleanser, like a fun pop culture story. And luckily, there's some big news this weekend.
Boy, has the rap world been buzzing over the weekend. The internet on fire. Are you Team Drake or Team Kendrick Lamar? The feud is red hot, with both stars dropping several diss tracks over the weekend. Both stars gaining tens of millions of streams in the process. The beef has been ongoing for several years, quite frankly, but it's reached a fever pitch right now.
Ooh, a rap battle. It's a great way to showcase an MC's skills. I gotta say, as a Michigan boy, I loved watching Eminem slice and dice his competitors. It's always, always a great time. In fact, I bet Drake is gonna tease Kendrick about selling more albums, and Kendrick is gonna make some playful jabs about Drake being a Toronto Raptors fan. So, let the ribbing begin.
In his diss tracks, Drake claims Kendrick abuses and cheats on his fiance, while Kendrick accuses Drake of being a pedophile.
That got dark. We went from zero to Epstein in about one weekend. This beef is really out of control, and it doesn't look like it's calming down anytime soon. Kendrick is probably in the studio right now trying to figure out something that rhymes with killed JonBenet Ramsey. So for more on this, we go live out to the streets with our own Josh Johnson. Josh, who would you say is winning this beef?
Nope. Pass. No, thank you. I don't want to get dragged into this at all. All these dudes do is research and destroy. Apparently, diss is short for dissertation, okay? And I don't need anybody looking me up and rapping about how I took my cousin to senior prom or that I pissed my bed until senior prom, all right? I just want to do my job and rest my head in whatever safe house they got J. Cole in.
Okay. I mean, I see your point. This has got to be one of the most brutal rap beefs in history.
Well, hold on, let's not get crazy. I mean, remember how rap beefs used to be? I mean, remember Biggie and Tupac? There's a reason that the last time you saw Pac was in hologram form, all right? What's happening now is nothing compared to back then, because hip-hop has matured. In the 90s, it was, I f***ed your girl, how about that? Now it's, I don't think you're emotionally available as a father and husband. Due to your general lack of vulnerability, which leaves me with no choice but to f*** a girl. How about that?
Okay. All right. Okay, so you're saying as ugly as this is getting, at least it's not spilling into violence.
Correct. In fact, I wish all global conflicts were like hip-hop beefs. The Middle East, Russia, Ukraine. Instead of missiles, wouldn't you want to see Zelensky release a track saying Putin is on Ozempic? Or that he learned Brazilian jiu-jitsu because he got Brazilian butt lift. Or that Putin's not black enough to say nigga. You know what I mean? Like, just... Or whatever the Russian version of that is.
Yeah, you really think you could replace wars with rap beefs?
Absolutely. Forget abroad, even at home. Wouldn't the national anthem be hotter if it was a diss track against England? Like, no taxation without representation. That's already half a bar right there. Now you just need something like, you eat beans on toast like some broke-ass hoes. Instead of shooting at Britain, the Founding Fathers should have been spitting at
him. Oh, like in Hamilton.
Not like that.
Okay, yeah. Well, Josh, if everything being a rap battle de-escalates situations, why are you so afraid to just pick a side between Drake and Kendrick? I mean, because you tell me all the time how you love Drake's music and he makes you feel safe to twerk in the shower and how you like to pop ass to his beats, how it makes you feel like a bad bitch, I think you said.
No, don't. Well, thanks a lot, Jordan. You gave him plenty. Kendrick just dropped a song, and the cover art is me slow dancing at senior prom. Oh, my God, I got to call my cousin.
Josh Johnson, everyone. We come back. Jonathan Haidt will be joining me on the show, so don't go away.
Hold up.
What if AI could help your business deliver mission-critical outcomes with speed? With IBM Consulting, your business can design, build, and scale trusted AI using Watson X, and modernize the way you work to accelerate real impact. Let's create AI that transforms your business. Learn more at ibm.com/consulting. IBM. Let's create.
Trinity School of Natural Health can help you be part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry. With an education that empowers communities, Trinity grads can change lives by applying natural health principles and techniques in holistic practices or stores selling nourishing health products. Offering 19 online programs that fit your busy schedule, you'll get training to help turn your passion into a career. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
Welcome back to The Daily Show. My guest tonight is a social psychologist who teaches ethical leadership at New York University. He's here to talk about his latest best-selling book, The Anxious Generation. Please welcome Jonathan Haidt. Jonathan, I see people walking all over Brooklyn holding this book. It's talking about the Great Rewiring. Talk to me. What is the Great Rewiring?
So, something happened to young people born after 1995. All of a sudden, in the early 2010s, their mental health collapsed. Rates of anxiety and depression skyrocketed. Self-harm is up like 150% for younger teen girls. Suicide is up 50%. Something happened in the early 2010s. And my argument in the book is a tragedy in two acts. The first act is the loss of the play-based childhood. It's what anybody over 40 in this audience had. You were out with your friends after school. There was nobody supervising you. You had to learn how to work out conflicts, how to face adversity. So that's what kids have had for hundreds of thousands of years. It's part of being a mammal. You play, you develop skills. We began to crack down on that, to lock kids up in the 90s, to not let them out. So we're restricting what they most need, which is play, from the 90s through the 2000s. But mental health doesn't collapse then. It's actually pretty stable. Then we get Act Two, which is the arrival of the phone-based childhood. And what that is in 2010, everybody had a flip phone. The iPhone had come out, but most teens had a flip phone. No front-facing camera, no social media on the phone, no high-speed data. And by 2015, everyone's got all those other things. Now suddenly everyone has a smartphone, front-facing camera, high-speed internet, social media, especially Instagram, on the phone. And almost like someone turned a switch in 2013, girls in America and many other countries suddenly become very anxious, depressed, and self-harming. And so that's what the book is about. Something changed between 2010 and 2015, and I'm trying to explain what it is.
You're saying in Act Two, they introduced Chekhov's cell phone. And,
yeah.
And we know what ends up happening after that. You look at sort of the adolescent brain.
Yes.
How dumb and stupid is a 13-year-old's brain?
I would say not dumb and stupid at all. I would say it's in the process of remodeling, and it's still in the early phases. So we have, you know, children have a brain which is actually almost full size. By age six, the brain is almost full size.
I'll fact check that. I don't think that's right. But okay, continue.
You must be right.
Yeah, thank you.
The rest of childhood is not about growth. It's about picking which neurons survive and which ones get eliminated. It's all about wiring up. And that happens slowly in childhood. But then around age 11, 12 for girls, puberty starts a couple years later for boys. And you get this massive, quick rewiring of the brain to sort of lock down into an adult configuration. It starts more in the back of the brain. The prefrontal cortex is the last part to develop. And so around the age of 13, kids' emotional areas are rewiring. They have the beginnings of sexual urges and lust. They're very emotional, passionate, but they don't have the self-control to say, like, no, I'm not going to spend a fifth hour on TikTok. I'm just going to keep going because I can't stop myself. Mm-hmm.
And now, so, when does that stop? Because I'm looking forward to that happening soon. At like 47, 48, like, when does that part of my brain close off and I can put the phone down?
Well, in your case, I really can't say, but for most people...
By the sequel, I get it. I get it.
Smart, smart.
25 is when the frontal cortex is done rewiring.
Okay, I'll tell you when that happens. Well, it's interesting how you're talking a lot about not only these phones come in and they change the way kids think and the way sort of society thinks, mm-hmm. but you talk about raising a child, an anti-fragile child.
Yes.
And you make some bold claims in this book, one of which is right here. You claim that this merry-go-round playground spinner is the greatest piece of playground equipment ever invented. Defend yourself.
Okay. What is better?
I mean, what's a teeter-totter, it's just a metaphor really, of you're up, you're down. You know, it's what life is all about. You know, work with somebody else.
Yeah, yeah,
one's
yeah.
up, one's down. There's no way to stay in the middle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The key...
Wow.
Okay, while I have no citations to prove my claim, the psychological thing I'm trying to get at there is thrills. Mm-hmm. This is something I talk a lot about in Chapter 3, that kids need to play, but they especially need risky play. Kids literally need to face risk. If you don't give them risk, they'll find a way to get it. They'll climb up on walls. They'll climb trees. If they skateboard, they'll skateboard downstairs. Kids need to have some actual risk. And so, yes, you're right. A swing set, a teeter-totter, if it's really big and you could come crashing down, there is risk. And
why are you trying to hurt these kids?
Well, because... You have to put kids in a situation where they can get hurt, because only then do they learn every day how to not get hurt. Mm-hmm. And what we've done since the 90s is we've put them in places that are so safe, there's no chance to get hurt, which means they don't learn how to not get hurt. The human program of evolution is kids face risk, they're a little scared, they have to be a little scared, they overcome it, and then they're more confident the next time around. And that's the path to adulthood. But we stopped that in the 90s. We said, no more of that. We're going to keep you overprotected forever, and then we're going to send you to universities like mine, where you're coming in still not ready for independent living.
Now you take that, and then you also you fast forward to this modern era where kids are obsessed with phones, they're on the internet, they're on social media sites.
Right.
Is there an argument though that the anti-fragile way in which kids need to, it's not to pull this thing away, that they need to be exposed to the risk that the internet has? I mean, this is the world that they're going to be born into anyway. Shouldn't they be learning how to navigate that at an early age?
Yeah. In theory, yes, but let's look at, say, sexuality. We want them to learn how to have sex. Does that mean we should give them running start at age 8? There are certain things that are not appropriate at that time.
Just to be clear, I did not say that. This was not...
Yeah,
that's,
yeah.
This is... That's theoretically.
Theoretically.
Okay, yes, yes, boy.
Yeah. Yeah. So I've heard this before. In theory, like, oh, you know, you're saying we need to protect them less in the real world, but you're saying we need to protect them more in the virtual world. Isn't that contradictory? Mm-hmm. Not at all. Not at all. Kids... We're mammals. Kids need to be out playing, roughhousing, putting their arms around each other, touching, out in nature. This is the way a lot of us grew up. You play outside. And when you put kids in an environment where everything goes through the phone, as soon as you give your child a phone, that they're going to use that. Now the latest stats are around 9 hours a day they're on their phone. And a lot of them, it's almost all the time because they're always checking. That blocks out time in nature, time with friends. Time with friends is down 65% since 2010. Mm-hmm. Kids need time with friends. Texting and sending emojis doesn't compensate. It's done instead of time with friends. Mm-hmm. And that, I think, is why as soon as they moved on to social media and the boys onto multiplayer video games, they got so lonely. Mm-hmm. Loneliness surged along with depression and anxiety.
It's interesting. You talk a little bit about, in childhood, discover mode mm-hmm. versus like defensive yeah. mode. And even in a world of the arts, I did improv comedy forever, and I think the mindset of that is a discovery mindset,
yes.
right? And so you're constantly looking
yeah.
for something. It was interesting reading this in terms of how to raise a child and to put them in that open mindset, but it seemed remarkably reflective of just how society feels right now. And I don't know if that's partially because of our connection to social media and the anxiety that is there. But do you see parallels there as well, that we are inadvertently too in defensive mode because of these devices that we have in our pockets and our hands?
Yeah. Well, right now, it does seem like everything is going to hell, because it actually is.
Oh, that's...
But, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's not just my phone telling me that.
No. But it wasn't that way.
It wasn't that
way. It wasn't that way in 2012.
Uh-huh.
So the fact that this happened in so many countries at the same time, and a lot of people say, oh, well, you know, the global financial crisis, that must be what it was. Like, there were real economic difficulties. Yeah, that was 2008. why do the numbers not begin going up until 2012, 2013, when the economy is getting better and better? So you can't make the claim that things were so terrible in Obama's second term compared to his first that all of a sudden teens, especially teen girls, suddenly fell off a cliff. That just doesn't work. So, you know, if this had all started in 2020, we could say, well, yeah, you know, COVID and all the craziness that's going on. But this started in 2012. Mm-hmm. There's no other explanation that anyone's proposed for why it happened in so many countries and hit girls the hardest.
It was interesting. You have a chapter in here that looks at also faith. And I'm an atheist. I know you mentioned that you are an atheist as well, but you speak to sort of this God-shaped hole. I think it's a Blaise Pascal quote. God-shaped hole in everybody's
every
heart.
Every human heart.
In every human heart, right? And that this lack of religion is something that is affecting childhood in a way that, again, as an atheist, I always have my dukes up when that mm-hmm. comes about. You said you were one, so you earned yourself a pass.
Okay.
But this lack of sort of religious institutions in this modern media landscape, how do you see that as something that's affecting like a childhood?
So so the way to think about this as an atheist without getting defensive is to
good luck.
No, I've been working on this professionally for many years. I finally got it down.
Let's see it.
Okay. Just looking at it descriptively psychologically. Religious people are a little happier than non-religious people. That's been true for a long time. Mm-hmm. Just as married people are happier than non-married people. On average, your mileage may vary. Mm-hmm. But but people need to be tied in, locked in a community. I'm a big fan of Emile Durkheim, the sociologist, is my favorite thinker of all time. When we're not tied in, locked in, we're free, but that doesn't make us happy. We have nothing to push against. We have no sense of meaning. It's like if you try to raise a plant, not in the ground, but just like up in the air, and it just can't be done. And so religious kids are rooted in traditions, faith, rituals, community. They go to church every Sunday. The Jewish kids have Shabbat. They literally can't use electronics for a day. So they were always happier than the secular kids. But what happens after 2012, it's quite remarkable in all the graphs. The religious kids get a little more anxious and depressed. The secular kids get much more anxious and depressed. So what I'm saying is, especially if you're an atheist, you're going to have to work much harder. You're going to have to be much more intentional about rooting your kid in stable social relationships. If you give him an iPad, then he graduates to a phone, and it's all this network, that network, interacting with strangers and weirdos and bots and AIs. That's not a community. That's crazy making.
It might just be easier to get him to believe in angels.
Then take away the iPad?
I was going to say, that iPad is there. I do want to... you've written a lot of very interesting books. The book you wrote before this, The Coddling of the American Mind, you co-wrote, sort of looked at safetyism. It looked at the college landscape. And now what we see on college campuses, these protests are breaking out. I wonder, as somebody who looked closely at that and the ways in which students kind of move through it, what you see now on these campuses. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't want to comment on the substance of the protest. This is a complicated issue. I respect people on all sides. We all agree on campus. We all agree students have a right to protest, constitutionally protected. But two things I see going on is, one is the protests, and this is what Greg Lukianoff, my co-author, first noticed in 2014, that the shouting down of speakers, the activism on campus that was really illiberal and it was intimidating and it was stopping people from speaking, it was based on arguments about fragility, about my mental health or her mental health. Like, we can't let this person on campus because it'll be dangerous, it'll be harmful, speech is violence. So that's a new idea that comes in with Gen Z, because they haven't been given an anti-fragile childhood, they've been given way too much therapy, they think everything is trauma. So we see that by beginning in 2014, it wasn't there in 2012, it was very new in 2014, 2015. The protesters now, I don't know the details, but like, you know, just one thing I read this morning, someone sent me a quote from a student at Harvard where she was in the encampments and she said, if Harvard cares so goddamn much about my mental health, why don't they just divest and, you know, do all the things that we're demanding? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, you know, you should do, you know, Harvard, you do these because our mental health is at stake. Mm-hmm. That's something new, and it's just not going to get them very far in political life going forward once mm-hmm. they leave campus.
It's good. I read this book. I want to do this right. How do I helicopter parent my child correctly? Like, what are some tactical things I can take away from this?
Mm-hmm. Well, you just push them out of the helicopter.
That's what it is. Okay. Sorry. Learn how to fly, right? Yeah. That's that anti-fragile of it all.
Right. For birds, it works. I guess not for us. So the key thing to the solution. So even though, you know, a lot of my books, a lot of my writing is very dark about things are actually going to hell in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. But this one, we can solve it in a year or two, because the reason it got so bad so quickly is that we're trapped in what's called a social trap. It's a collective action trap. The reason why we all feel we have to give our kid a smartphone by the time they're 10 is because everyone else did, and your kid says, you know, Dad, I'm the only one. I'm being left out. Mm-hmm. So we're all doing that. And the reason my students are spending so much time on TikTok, they say, is because, well, everyone else is, and I have to keep up. I have to know what's happening. So we're all trapped in this. What that means is that if we decide to escape, we can escape together. So I propose in the book, there's a lot of suggestions, but four norms that will break these collective action traps. First, no smartphone before high school. Just clear this out of the lives of elementary and middle school kids. Send them out, give them a flip phone, a dumb phone, a phone watch so you can text them, but don't give them the entire internet, including strangers all over the world who are trying to get at them sexually. Like, this is just craziness. Mm-hmm. So no smartphone till high school. The second is no social media till 16. You know, the things that are sent around on social media, the things they're exposed to, like I just recently learned about the video Cat in a Blender, which was popular a while ago.
It is exactly
what it sounds like. Okay. So, you know, and this is just part of childhood. It's hardcore porn, animal cruelty, beheading videos. So, you know, let's just at least wait till they're 16 before they see that stuff.
I was going to say, that's the appropriate age to watch a cat in a blender. Is that 16? It's like, you get to drive a car, yeah. And why don't you check this thing out? Yeah.
What I'm after here is not the optimum age. It's what's a minimum age that we could actually all do together, because that's the key. If most of us do this, we solve the problem. The third norm is phone-free schools. This is the most powerful one that we can do instantly. So if you're watching this and you have kids that go to a school that lets the kids keep the phone in the pocket, mm-hmm. Buy a copy of my book for the principal. I have videos. Send them a video of my talks on phone-free schools. Every school needs to go phone-free by September. The phones they don't just make the kids anxious and lonely. They make them less intelligent. Test scores have been dropping around the world since 2012. Once the kids bring a phone in school, they're doing this. They're not listening to the teacher. Mm-hmm. So get rid of phones in schools. And then the fourth norm is far more independence, free play, and responsibility in the real world. We have to, so it's not. This is not just about let's take away. Mm-hmm. It's let's give them a real childhood, the kind of childhood that us older people, the kind that we look back on. Mm-hmm. So if we love our children, the best thing we can give them is a real human childhood. Right. And if we do it together, we can get this done in the next year or two.
I love it. Just give your kids some space, a beer, and a bag of glass, and they should be okay. it's a fascinating read and an important one. The Anxious Generation is available now. Donna Denhoff. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
What if AI could help your business deliver mission-critical outcomes with speed? With IBM Consulting, your business can design, build, and scale trusted AI using Watson X, and modernize the way you work to accelerate real impact. Let's create AI that transforms your business. Learn more at ibm.com/consulting. IBM. Let's create.
Trinity School of Natural Health can help you be part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry. With an education that empowers communities, Trinity grads can change lives by applying natural health principles and techniques in holistic practices or stores selling nourishing health products. Offering 19 online programs that fit your busy schedule, you'll get training to help turn your passion into a career. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
That's our show for tonight. Now here it is, your moment of zen.
You know, when we learned last week, obviously, like all of you in her book, that she killed her puppy, you heard me say that was very, very sad. We find her comments from yesterday disturbing. We find them absurd. And here, this is a country that loves dogs.
Explore more shows from the Daily Show podcast universe by searching The Daily Show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Watch The Daily Show weeknights at 11, 10 Central on Comedy Central. And stream full episodes anytime on Paramount Plus.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.
Trinity School of Natural Health can help you be part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry. With an education that empowers communities, Trinity grads can change lives by applying natural health principles and techniques in holistic practices or stores selling nourishing health products. Offering 19 online programs that fit your busy schedule, you'll get training to help turn your passion into a career. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.